No one likes being stabbed in the back. No one likes being betrayed. No one likes being cheated on. No one likes being taken advantage of. No one likes being tricked. Gotcha! Well, when we come to John chapter 13, it's the greatest example of someone, of God, of Jesus being betrayed, of being stabbed in the back, of being tricked, of being cheated on, of being taken advantage of. But what we see today, Jesus knew about this from the foundation of the world. And where Judas thought he was getting one over on Jesus, Jesus knew about it before Judas was ever even thought about. This morning, three lessons in a story of betrayal. Sermon I've entitled, Traitor. First truth I want you to notice, the sovereignty of the Savior. John chapter 13, notice verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. Notice this next phrase. But the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now, no one would ever put someone close to them that they knew were going to betray them. No one ever marries someone saying, that person's going to cheat on me. No one ever hires someone saying, that person is going to steal from me. But very literally, Jesus chose Judas as one of his disciples, knowing he was going to betray him. Now you notice, it says in verse 18, that scripture may be fulfilled. You say, well, what's he talking about? Psalm 41 verse 9. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. What's he talking about? The psalmist, back 2,000 years before Jesus ever came, predicted and prophesied of Judas' betrayal. Jesus kept dropping these hints to the disciples. John 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name, that thou gavest me, have I kept. This is grace. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Son of perdition, what's he talking about? Judas. Judas was lost. Sixth century, Zechariah, 600 years before Christ, before Judas. Zechariah said this in chapter 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. If not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. So 600 years before Judas' betrayal, Zechariah prophesied it. He said Jesus would be betrayed. He said Jesus would be betrayed for money. He said Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. He said Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver in the temple. And a potter would be involved. You say, how did he know that? Jesus is sovereign and scripture is 100% accurate. So when you hold that Bible in your hand, this word, every word of it is true. Look at the next verse, verse 19. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So he's given the disciples these clues. Hey, I don't want Judas to take you by surprise. The betrayal, it's all part of my plan. Leon Morris put it like this. Jesus was not a deceived victim of unsuspected treachery. He knew Judas was going to betray him right up until Judas did it. It didn't take him by surprise. Look at verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Now, that kind of verse is kind of out of place. Jesus, what are you saying? Well, he's reassuring the disciples. When I'm betrayed, don't forget whose team you're on. When I am stabbed in the back, when I am cheated on by Judas, when he sells me out, don't forget, you are with me, you are with my heavenly Father. He is encouraging them before Judas does his dastardly deed. Number one, sovereign, the sovereignty of the Savior. Number two, I want you to see the sinfulness of the sinner. And here's what I want you to see today, every one of you. Top of the balcony to the first row. All of us are just like Judas. All of us are hypocrites. All of us are traitors. All of us need a Savior just like Judas does. So don't be looking down your nose and saying, oh yeah, that horrible Judas. That horrible Judas is Neil Jackson. It's just Jesus saved my soul. And look at verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. So when Jesus said this, one of you will betray me, no one suspected Judas, because counterfeits, they look like the real thing. There were actually two disciples named Judas among the 12. In John chapter 14, verse 22, it records a disciple named Judas, and it clearly decides not Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, lists the names of the 12 disciples. Apostles are these. And it says, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. Judas Iscariot is always listed as the last of the 12 disciples. Luke 22, verse 3 says this, Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, being, this is one of the 12. That would be like one of the deacons, or one of the Sunday school teachers, or being one of the choir members. He was one of the select group. He no doubt had breakfast nearly every morning with Peter and with Jesus. He no doubt walked the same path that Matthew walked every single day. He knew what it was like to hang out with James and John, the sons of thunder. John chapter 12, verse 6 says Judas was the treasurer of the group. If you would have known Judas, you would have said, Brother Judas, he's the finest man I know. We trust him to take care of our money. He is true and true. He is a thumbs up kind of guy. You go to Mark chapter 3, verse 14. It says this. He ordained 12 that he might send them forth to preach. If he sent 12 out to preach, that means he sent Judas out to preach as well. You go to Luke chapter 4. It said he sent them out to preach deliverance to the captives. So Judas was out preaching deliverance. He was out preaching and casting out demons. If you heard Judas preach, you would have said, woo, that Judas, he can shuck the corn, baby. Judas is a preacher of the gospel. And he was. You go to Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called 12 unto him and began to send them forth two by two. Came with power over unclean spirits. They cast out many devils, anointed many with oil, and they that were sick, they healed them. Here's Judas preaching. Here's Judas casting out demons. Here's Judas healing people. You would say, Judas, the one who takes care of the money, he is the real thing. You say, Pastor, I don't get it. Bottom line, you and I don't know who's saved. You know how many people I know in this room that saved? One. Me. You know how many people you know in this room that saved? One. You. You're the only one. Scripture's clear. A person's life who is marked by continual wickedness. Scripture, I can show it to you over and over. Scripture is clear. If your life is marked by continual wickedness, you're lost. I don't care if you've joined the church. I don't care if you've been ducked in a tank. If your life is marked by wickedness, you're not saved. But here's what's strange. The opposite is not true. You can do a lot of good and a lot of good things, and you still can be lost and on your way to hell. Look back at the verse 21. Jesus had thus said, troubled in his spirit, he testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, one of you shall betray me. Disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Not one of them looked at Judas. I bet it's him. Never trusted those shaky eyes. I always thought it was Judas. They were saying, Is it I? You say, Pastor, why? He was a hypocrite. See, a hypocrite is someone who pretends to be something that they aren't. And Judas was the best. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. Notice the first word. Many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, if Judas came to church, I don't think he's going to be dressed in all goth. I don't think he's going to be tattooed out and have piercings all over him. I think Judas would probably be in a suit. I think he'd probably have the big Bible, and I think he'd know when to say, amen, preacher, right at the right time. Because he was a hypocrite. He looked like a Christian, and you could not distinguish him, but he was lost, and he was on his way to hell. You say, Pastor, with prophecy saying what he would do, Judas have a choice? Did he have a choice? Listen very carefully. Everybody has a choice. You're sitting here today under my voice. You got a choice on what you're going to do with Jesus. Judas had an opportunity. He had opportunity. He had opportunity after opportunity. He had a choice. Just like you have an opportunity as well. Judas was there, Matthew 26, verse 24, when Jesus said this, warning, Judas, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe to that man of whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Judas heard those words. Where was his heart? Was he convicted? Was he right there on the edge of his seat? Jesus, I repent. Jesus, I repent. But he didn't repent. Judas saw the miracles. He heard the teachings. He observed every move that Jesus ever made. And no doubt he was looking for one quintennial of an evidence that Jesus wasn't the true, real deal. And he could find none. But yet, he never changed his heart to accept Jesus. One person put it like this: Judas gave his life to following Jesus. He just never gave his heart to following Jesus. You can go to church every Sunday. You can wear the right clothes to church every Sunday. You can sing in the choir. You can teach Sunday school. You can preach from a pulpit. And you can die and you can go to hell. Because you don't go to heaven because you wear the right clothes, because you preach from a pulpit, or you sing in the choir. You go to heaven because you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way anyone will ever go to heaven. Some of you understand this. People are said to have a poker face. Those that play professional poker, they never reveal their hand. They're not with their facial expressions, not with their gestures, not with their actions. They got a poker face because they don't want you to know if they have a good hand or if they got a bad hand. When I read that, I said, there's a lot of people, they have a disciple face. They know how to put it on. They know when to smile the right smile. They know when to motion the right motion. They know when to gesture the right gesture because they are a hypocrite. Oh, they do the right things. But their heart has never been changed. You say, Pastor, did Judas ever repent? Judas ever get saved? Did he ever change? Matthew 27, verse 3 says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, notice what it says, he repented himself, brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. It, repented here is a word for emotional regret. Only time that word is ever even translated repented is here. He was sorry. He got caught. He was sorry for what he was done. Not coming back and saying, Jesus, I have betrayed innocent blood. Jesus, you truly are the Son of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I confess my sin and I accept you as my Lord and Savior. He didn't repent of his sin and accept Jesus. It says he repented himself. In God's sovereign plan, he simply let Judas to himself. Number two, the sinfulness of the sinner. Thirdly, notice the sacrifice of the substitute. Now, one would think that Judas was plotting to betray Jesus. One author put it like this: Jesus controlled every single detail of his death, proving the truth of his declaration. John 10, 18. No one takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. So Judas wasn't plotting, I'm going to take Jesus at just my time. No, 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 no. Judas was playing into Jesus' hand. The right time was not determined by Judas. It was determined by Jesus. Jesus, to be crucified as the perfect Passover lamb, to be in the grave 3 days and three nights, to be raised from the dead on the first day of the week. He had to be crucified at the exact perfect time. And Jesus did not leave this to Judas's plotting. As Judas is sitting in the upper room, planning his next move, he does not realize that this has been orchestrated since the foundation of the world. Notice John 13, verse 26. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop." It was like a dipping sauce where they dipped. You would think it as a chip or something like that. "Shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, that's what it says, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest," and do quickly, "with the Last Supper about to take place, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper about to be instituted." Jesus would not have this scene ruined by the participation of a traitor. It's the politest excommunication there has ever been. He removes Judas from being one of the 12 disciples. He removes him. Probably none of the other disciples realize even what is taking place. He communicates to Judas and he speaks. And Judas goes into the dark intellectually. He goes off into the dark spiritually as well. You're in 13. Hold your place. We're going to come back there. Turn over a couple of places, a couple of pages to John chapter 18. We fast forward a couple of hours to the Garden of Gethsemane. John 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he had entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which had betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am he." Notice this. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Judas, whose side are you on? Are you one of the disciples? Are you one that is crucifying Christ? Whose side are you on? The truth has come out. He has abandoned the disciples, and he's now standing with the crucifiers. My word for you today. Whose side are you on? Some of you got that good hypocrite mask, that disciple fake mask that you can put on and you can take off. I come and ask you that question. Whose side are you on? Look back at the verse. Verse 5. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto him, "I am he." Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. That's verse 6. As soon then as he said unto them, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. Bible scholars tell us there was probably 600 to 1,000 soldiers there. They had their swords, they had their weapons, they had their shields, they had their lanterns. They said, "Hey, we're seeking Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus is standing out front. No weapons, no army. He could have called them. No weapons, no army. He says with his words, three words, "I am he." They all fall to the ground on their backside. Judas falls to the ground as well. You would think Judas would say, "There is the Son of God." You would think Judas would say, "Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I repent. Truly, you are Savior. You are Lord. I repent." Judas does no such thing. Go back to chapter 13, and I'll be done. Chapter 13, verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out. Notice those next four words. And it was night. He turns and he walks out of that upper room. And he walks out into the night. Scripture says he's going to his own place. The destitution of the soul. If there were owls out that night, I'm sure they were hooting, "Traitor! Traitor!" If there were wild animals, coyotes, I'm sure that they were growling, "Judas, you're a traitor! You're a traitor!" He's all alone. There's no Jesus. There's no disciples. He's going to his own place. If there were bats flying overhead, I'm sure they're flying and flying, and his conscience is pounding, and those bats, as they fly over him, he's just hearing it, "Traitor, Judas, you're a traitor." I just wonder if the buzzards are even circling already, and he hears it, "Traitor, traitor." You say, where does he go? Scripture says he goes to the field of blood. He goes and he puts a noose around his head, a noose around his neck, ties it to the tree, and he hangs himself, and he swings out into the precipice of eternity. And as he swings there, he just keeps hearing, "Traitor! Traitor! Traitor!" You say, where did Judas go? Without a doubt, he went to hell. Eternity's penitentiary. The insane asylum of the universe. When you make up your mind you're not going God's way, you're headed toward hell. There is no hope for Judas today. He's been in hell for 2,000 years. There is hope for every person in this auditorium. Here's my question. Have you ever accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? See, Judas heard it. He heard it. He heard it. He heard it. He had seen the works. He had seen it. But there never was a time he confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. And because he never accepted Jesus as his personal Savior, today, Judas is screaming in hell. But the good news, there's no opportunity for Judas today. But hallelujah, there is opportunity for you. If you never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, today is your accepted time. Today is your day of salvation. Accept Him today. And you can know for sure when you take your last breath, you will be in heaven. True story is told of a professor named Webster. He killed his partner doctor. They put him in the jail cell. He was on death row. He called for the the warden of the jail. He says, "Sir, can you change my cell and put me in another cell? The people in the next cell over at night while I'm trying to sleep, they whisper to me, 'Thou art a murderer.' And all night long they just keep whispering, 'Thou art a murderer. Thou art a murderer. Thou art a murderer.'" The warden granted his request, and he did move him to a different jail cell. The problem, there was nobody in that cell next to him. It was his conscience taunting him and taunting him and taunting him. And here's what I know. If you die and go to hell, your conscience will taunt you over and over and over again for all of eternity. Today, friend, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Accept Jesus today.